Book Review. The name of the book, Another World, A Retreat in the Ozarks. The author, William Claassen, C-L-A-A-S-S-E-N. The publishers, Sheed & Ward, Chicago, 2007. The number of pages in the book, 195. Well, let us take a look at now the jacket and see what this book is about. Another World, A Retreat in the Ozarks, provides an intimate look into contemporary monastic life. William Claassen explores day-to-day life in a small Trappist monastery tucked away in the Ozark foothills, interweaving memoir with conversations with the monks, observations of community life, and relationships with other visitors. Each chapter describes a day in the monastery, reflecting the routines and rhythms of the place. Human and gently inspiring, Another World invites readers into a tranquil and spiritual place that provides a welcome respite from the hectic modern world. And now what I'd like to do is take two excerpts in this book that I think give an idea of what the book is about and the beauty that is contained within it. The first excerpt, believe it or not, is by Sister Joan Chittister, who is a Dominican. And she writes in the very beginning of the book this about monasteries. Monasteries hardly seem like places from which to analyze the world. To go to the monastery, popular mythology has it, is to leave the world, not to get even more deeply involved with it. But it may be only from a distance that we see from best. It may be those who do not have money who best know that money is not essential to the good life. It may be those who each day have only a bed and books and one closet full of clothes in a small room to call their own, who clearly realize what clutter can do to a life. It may be those who vow obedience to another, who can sense what self-centeredness can do to corrode a heart. It may be only those who stand alone in life who can really know what community is all about. It may be those who are powerless by choice, who can best demonstrate the power that comes from not having power. It may be those who have decided against amassing personal property, who can realize that bankruptcy and welfare and sufficiency are not the worst things that can happen to a person in life. It may be those who are unmarried by choice, who can sensitively hear the abandoned and the widowed and the lonely. It may be those who have no cooperate or ecclesial ladder to climb, who can best speak to equality. Indeed, the monastery gives a privileged perspective from which to speak to the world. And now an excerpt from the book itself. Gethsemane, founded in 1848, was the first successful Trappist monastery in the United States. The pioneer monks, originally from western France, initially lived in log cabins and farmed the land. Today, the monks draw a significant portion of their income from cheese and fruitcake businesses. The Trappist Thomas Merton, a prolific writer on spiritual and social matters, was a Gethsemane monk. Merton's classic autobiography, The Seven-Story Mountain, is a vivid and detailed account of his spiritual journey. The book has influenced countless men and women seriously, considering the monastic life. It was here that I made my first retreat in December 1973. I can still visualize scenes that were an integral part of that experience. There was the Christmas Eve Mass, where mysterious events unfolded amid a haze of incense and smoke from the candles. It was my introduction to the antiphonal sounds of Gregorian chant, emanating from hooded, faceless figures that appeared to float through the sanctuary, a sparsely furnished room with a cold, bare floor, firm mattress, and a crucifix hanging on the wall was where I fell asleep each night. And there were the long periods of silence throughout those winter days. The solo walks in the dense Kentucky woods and my visits to the one-time hermitage of Thomas Merton remain in my memory. That simple concrete block abode was my daily pilgrimage site. Not once during my stay did I feel awkward, uncomfortable, or out of place. I knew when I left the Abbey that monastic retreats would become an important part of my life, a refuge of sorts. I had found a spiritual community that understood my hunger for periods of silence and solitude, a community that strove for cooperation rather than competition. And let's leave it at that. I think these thoughts in themselves give us a real feeling for monastic life, and especially the very austere monastic life of the Trappist.